Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Father Carter Griffin's newest book is one that needs to be on every pastoral formator's shelf. Forming Fathers, Seminary Wisdom for Every Priest, seeks to remind priests of the lessons so greatly needed to fulfill their calling faithfully. Learn more at stpaulcenter.com. Hi, this is Scott Hahn, and I want to welcome you to Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center, where we take a close look at the readings from Sacred Scripture for today's Mass. Today is Monday, December 5th, the Monday of the second week of Advent. So a blessed Advent to all of you. And what I'd like to do in this time together is to take a look at one of my favorite gospel stories. It's found in Luke chapter 5, running from verse 17 all the way down to verse 26. It's a story that you already know. It proceeds in four stages. So let's break it down. In stage one, we read about how one day, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was with him for healing. Okay, so the stage is set. Now we have the actors, part two. And some men brought on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They were trying to bring him in and set him in his presence. But not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowd, you know the story, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the tiles into the middle of the room in front of Jesus. And so, having set the stage, we now have the principal actors, these men who are lowering their friend, the paralytic, through the roof and the tiles into the middle of the room in front of Jesus. Now we come to the moment of truth. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "As for you, your sins are forgiven." Okay? The man is probably laying there on the stretcher thinking, "That's not what I came for." And his friends up on the roof are wondering to themselves, "Wait a minute, that's not what we tore apart this guy's roof to lower him down to you for." And the opponents who were scattered throughout the room listening to his teaching, they're even more inflamed. Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to ask themselves, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who but God alone can forgive sins?" And notice that in the next step of this third stage, this heated exchange, Jesus knew their thoughts. And what does he say in reply? He doesn't say, "Oh, you're wrong. Don't be so stingy. God isn't the only one who can forgive sins. All of us can, in the name of God." No, he knows their thoughts, but he knows what they don't know, that standing before them is no mere man. Standing before them is the God-man. And so, what are you thinking in your thoughts? Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Rise and walk"? So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home." And in the fourth and final scene, we read what happened next. He stood up immediately before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. Then astonishment seized them all, and they glorified God. I want to propose that what we have here in this wonderful story is a sort of model for what Jesus introduced here in the gospel that represents the breakthrough of the New Testament and the fulfillment of the Old. And what is it? The forgiveness of sins. Because up until now, it was true that in the Old Testament, only God could forgive sins. Not even the high priest could say, "My son, your sins are forgiven." He could say that when Messiah comes, the forgiveness of sins will result. And so Jesus, looking at the paralytic and looking up at the faith of his friends, says, "My son, your sins are forgiven." And I want you to recognize that as far as Jesus is concerned, there are two miracles to be performed here this day. One on the inside that's invisible, and the other one is external, and that is the paralysis. Why would he say, "Your sins are forgiven," unless he saw that as the far greater need? And why is it? because our sins are what paralyze our soul. And only through the freedom that comes from divine forgiveness, through Christ himself, are we really healed. And so Jesus sees two needs, one for forgiveness, the other for healing the paralysis, but the one that is so important he does first, and the second one that he does subsequently, he only does to prove that he, as the Son of Man, has now authority on earth to forgive sins. So the external sign validates what he alone could do. Later on, of course, we're going to read in John 20, verses 21 and following, how after the resurrection, he will confer upon the disciples a power that he alone possessed in the public ministry. The disciples were sent out to proclaim the gospel and to heal the sick and to deliver those from unclean spirits. But the one thing the disciples never did during the public ministry was the thing that Jesus alone could do, and that is to forgive sins. But in John 20, verses 21 and following, he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. He who sins you forgive will be forgiven." Well, how would they know what sins to forgive unless they were told what sins had been committed? This is where Jesus, in effect, institutes the sacrament of forgiveness, reconciliation, confession, whatever you want to call it, we all need it. And what Jesus does with the man here is to remind us that we don't just need to be healed in our body, but our soul. And as St. Augustine puts it, this is Jesus showing us that the greater disease is what afflicts the soul, that what really paralyzes our heart is the sin that goes unforgiven, the sin that goes unconfessed. And so more than any high priest in ancient Israel back in the Old Testament, Jesus alone could usher in the economy of divine grace and mercy and reveal the healing power of that mercy, not just for the body, but also for the soul. So sometimes Jesus does heal the body, but what Jesus always does whenever we confess every known mortal sin is he heals the soul. He delivers us from that deeper paralysis. Brothers and sisters, this is Advent season. In some ways, it's a lot like Lent. And why? Because it's a penitential season. It's a season of preparation. And how do we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ at Christmas? Well, how do we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ in the resurrection of Easter? Through penance. And not just private penance, where we mortify ourselves, where we spend more time in prayer, where we spend more time reading Scripture, where we might give up dessert or some other favorite thing that we are overly attached to. But we also prepare ourselves in this season of penance by going to confession. So I want to encourage you on this day, the Monday of the second week of Advent, to find a time to go to confession and to be fully and truly reconciled with God and to recognize that through Christ, the Son of Man, we now have in our priests this authority to be healed and delivered from the spiritual paralysis that is caused by our own sins. Thanks be to God for the amazing grace of this wonderful sacrament that we call reconciliation, confession. Whatever you call it, it generally is true that the more you need it, the less you want it. But give in to his mercy and let go of your pride. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Advent season. We thank you for the gift of penance. We thank you for the sacrament of confession. We thank you for the medicine of mercy that sometimes heals our body, but will always heal our soul. So help us to lay hold of the mercy of Christ. Help us to lay hold of the season of grace. Help us to prepare ourselves and our loved ones back home to really be delivered by the Savior's coming. And so hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Holy Mary, our hope, seat of wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center. And until tomorrow, may the Lord richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Letters from Home, the Scripture Reflections podcast from the St. Paul Center. Listen daily with reflections from Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Dr. Shane Owens, Ms. Joan Watson, and Mr. Clement Harold. Our production team includes Technical Director Rory Mitrick and producers Olivia Mosier and Joseph Palmer. Our mission at the St. Paul Center is to help you read Scripture from the heart of the church. Subscribe and share Letters from Home, as well as Dr. Scott Hahn's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Hahn's podcast, Beloved and Blessed. For more faith-based resources, books, and Bible studies, visit stpaulcenter.com.